Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. I have an encouraging word for us tonight. For anyone who needs a word of encouragement, if anybody likes that kind of thing, I have a message of encouragement. What is written right here is such a blessing to me, and I believe this is going to be a blessing to you. I truly do. Let me give you the line that caught my attention, and this is the basis of the entire message. Verse 8, Psalm 138, verse 8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." Now that's good news. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Now, what that says to me and to us is we are not perfect in our flesh. And we'll never be able to make ourselves perfect in our flesh. But He can and He will. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. There is a desire in a child of God to be perfect in the new man. There is a desire, very much so. There's a desire to be perfect in the new man that God has created in us. God has put a new man, which is Christ, in us. And we definitely have a desire to be perfect in that new man. But here's the problem. The old man is still here. The old man is still here. And that old man will do everything in his power, every sinful thing that he can do. And it sounds like I'm talking about somebody else, but I'm not. That old man will do every wicked, evil thing that he can do to resist and to fight against that new man. He's at war with that new man. What that means is, I'm fighting against me. That's what it means. That's what's happening. I'm fighting against me so that I cannot do and I cannot be what I want to do and what I want to be. A child of God just cannot do and be what he wants to be, and that is perfect. He cannot be perfection. That's what the Apostle Paul told the Galatians. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. He's speaking of the old man and the new man, and he's calling them the flesh and the spirit. And he describes the difference in the two in verses 19 to 23. Verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness," just filthiness. This is the old man. If you want a good look, that it's manifested. If you want a good look at the old man, this is what the old man is made up of. This is what he is. He is adultery. He's fornication. He's uncleanness. He is lasciviousness. That means lust. He is idolatry. He worships everything but God. That's the old man. He is witchcraft, sorcery, evil spirits and things like that. He is hatred. That's what he is. He is variance. That means contention, quarreling. He just likes to quarrel. He is emulations. That means lashing out, not being able to control yourself, just in the heat of the moment. He is wrath. He is strife. He is seditions and heresies. Those two words, seditions and heresies, they both mean division. One's by action and one's by desire. Verse 21, he's envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, which means rioting, just wild rioting. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The old man cannot. That's the old man. And that's the man that we see in ourselves day in and day out. That's the one we see. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. That's what long-suffering means. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the new man that we so want to be in Christ. But look at what he said in verse 17. He said, this is the problem for the child of God. Verse 17, he said, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. But the promise of our text is, and the encouragement of our message is, God can and He will. He can and He will. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth His people. Let's go back to our text and see some of the things that He'll perfect. Go back to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 1 says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Now, let me ask you this question. Will we really praise Him with our whole heart? Will we really? As long as we're in this flesh, will we praise Him with our whole heart? It would have been one thing had He said, I will praise thee. But He said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. I will praise you perfectly. I will praise you completely. I will praise you only to the point that my heart praises nothing else. Nothing else. Can we really say that in this flesh? Knowing what I am inside and out, I look at that and this is what I think. Concerning myself, when I look at that, this is what comes to my mind. That sounds presumptuous. Sounds wonderful, but knowing me, that sounds a little presumptuous. I will praise thee. I will praise thee. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I can count on myself to do that or not. Like when David said in Psalm 18, he said, I will love thee. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Last Sunday night, we talked about what it is to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said, just the thought of that, just the thought of actually saying, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes us cringe inside. It just makes us cringe because we know something of our sinful inability. We know something of ourselves. We feel that toward Him, but we feel so hypocritical in it. We feel so insincere. It's like we don't even believe ourselves when we say it. We say, yeah, we love the Lord, but we don't even believe ourselves while we're saying it. I will love thee. I will praise thee. I don't know. That sounds pretty presumptuous to me. I can see this in myself, and see if you can see this in yourself. Turn with me to John 13. I'm telling you, I can see this in myself. John 13, look at verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Sounds good. Sounds like the desire of the new man. But verse 38, Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? He said, That sounds pretty presumptuous, Peter. In Matthew's account, Peter said, Though all men shall be offended because of you, I'll never be offended. That's what he said. Everybody else may be offended. Though all men forsake you, he said, I'll never forsake you. Never. Really, Peter? Really? Verse 38 went on to say, Our Lord said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. He said, You're not even going to make it till the morning. And he didn't. Peter didn't. And after the Lord died for Peter, and was buried for Peter, and rose again for Peter. This is what he asked him. Turn over to John 21. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You said you loved me. You said you loved me more than they loved me. He said, they may all forsake you, but I won't. I love you more than they do. You said they would leave, but you would never leave. Do you love me more than they do? Now, there's nothing good to say about them because they left too. But do you really see something in yourself worthy of commending? Do you really? Do you really see an ability in you to perform the good and perfect will of God? Do you really? Has God performed an acceptable work of grace in you? Has He, Peter? This is what Peter said. He said, Lord, you know. Only you know. I'm going to have to look to you on that. Clearly, I cannot do what I need to do and desire to do to stand in God's sight acceptable. Clearly, I can't do that. I'm imperfect. And I can't do anything to make myself perfect. But you can, and you must. And the promise of your word is, you will. So I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. Now, that is the promise of God's word to every soul who has received faith to believe on Christ. Every soul who is looking to Christ saying, I can't and you must. That's faith. Faith is not courage. Faith says, I don't have any courage. Every soul that has received faith to believe on Christ, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth that soul. Everything about us is so imperfect right now. So imperfect. But the Lord will perfect everything that needs to be perfected. Everything. Are you pleased with your love for Him? Are you satisfied with your love for Him? Are you satisfied with the degree of your love for Him and the commitment of your love for Him? Are you satisfied with that? He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. He will perfect your love for Him. Is that good news? He will see to it that you love Him with an everlasting love. Honestly, you know, we'll be with Him for all eternity. Would we be able to love Him for all eternity? I don't know. Would we be able to look to Him and hear Him? I don't know. He'll take care of it. He will perfect it. He'll see to it that we end up loving Him for all eternity. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it to the point that we love Him with our whole heart for all eternity. As He has loved us, He will perfect our love for Him. As He's loved us with a perfect love, He will perfect our love for Him. Go with me back to Psalm 138. Verse 1 says, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. And a child of God can say, in that great day, when that day comes, after you've perfected me in the way that I need to be perfected, I'll praise you with my whole heart before every other God that does not exist. I'll praise you whole heart. Verse 2 says, I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. He said, I'll worship you. Are you satisfied with your worship of Him? Are you satisfied with your worship of Him? Not only your commitment to gather with the saints and be at worship, but the actual degree of worship that takes place in your heart while you're here. Are you satisfied with that? I'm not. And I'm the preacher. I'm not. Are we satisfied with the focus of our mind? You know, we sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. You know, it sounds like we're walking somewhere. We don't have to walk anywhere. Are we satisfied with the tuned in hearing of our ear? Are we satisfied with that? If it was only, I'll include myself in this, but I'm going to say you. If it was only you and him here, where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst of us. And if it was just the two of you, if it was only you and him here, would you be satisfied with your worship of him? He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. He will perfect your worship of him. Our Lord has already paid the debt for the sin of his people by the sacrifice of himself on the cross of Calvary. His blood paid all of our debt, all that we owed. He put it all away. But we're not going to be physically removed from the presence of that sin until we lay this body of flesh down in death. It's going to be with us till the day we die. And he paid for the sin that we will commit till the day we die. But it's still going to be with us. This old man is still going to be here. But when that day comes, all hindrances of the flesh are going to be removed. Every hindrance. In that day, we're going to experience the perfection of true worship. He perfected us on the cross. But we're going to know that. We're going to experience that in that day. Just wait. He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. We want to worship him so badly. And before the service starts, we beg. I encourage you to beg him to let you worship. Lord, please let me worship you. Please don't let me get all full of myself. Please don't let me dwell on these temporary things that don't matter. Please let me worship you. We beg and we beg and we beg. Worship is coming. True worship is coming. He right now is perfecting it for us. And we'll know the experience of him perfecting it in us soon to come. He'll bring it to pass. The end of verse 2 says, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Are you satisfied with your view and your study of and your gleaning from the word of God? Are you satisfied with your interaction with the word of God? Are you satisfied with where you have placed this in the order of importance in your life? I'm not, and I'm the preacher. Are you satisfied with how you have magnified this above everything else in your life? Every personal thought, every personal opinion, every personal feeling, all of our fleshly knowledge and fleshly wisdom, are we satisfied with where this stacks up to our own thoughts and opinions and minds? The Lord will take care of it. He will perfect its magnification to us. Not one word will return void. You know how we're always saying, "I just forget so much. I can't recall that." Not one word will fail. He'll perfect it. He'll perfect it. Verse 3 says, "In the day when I cried," cried, cried. Are you satisfied with your prayer? Are you happy with how you pray? And hold your place right here and turn over to Romans 8. I love this verse. Romans 8. This is just so glorious. Romans 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know what that means? That means he'll take care of it. He will take care of it. Back to Psalm 138. Verse 3 says, "In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthened me with strength in my soul." David said, you did that. You took care of it. Verse 4, "All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." That means he's the doer of all of it, and all the glory has to go to him. Every bit of it. Verse 6 says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly." And that's what we are. And that's why we can't do anything. It's because we're lowly. We're so low. "But though the Lord be high," high and lifted up, the wonderful message of the gospel is he has respect. That means he looks on. He sees to the need of the lowly. And how did he do that? He came down. He condescended down to the place that we were, so low in our sin. And he took that place of lowliness upon himself, all the way down in the pit that we were in. He took that place in the pit upon himself. And with him doing that, because he did that as our substitute, in the process, he lifted us out. When he went down, he lifted us out. Just very quickly, I'm closing. Turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." How did he do that? He went down into the pit himself. We're not going to read Psalm 40. Read it sometimes. These are the words of the Lord. And we can hear his cry. He's crying as our substitute, bearing our sin. He said, "Innumerable evils have compassed me." He's talking about my sin, the sin he took upon himself. Verse 17 says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." And he won't. He won't. Those were the words of Christ for us as our substitute, crying out of the pit for us. So back in our text, Psalm 138, verse 6, it says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." He will reach way down for me, no matter how lost, no matter how undone. He will. Verse 8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand." And he won't. He won't. He said, "I'll never forsake you. Never forsake you." What he has begun, he will perform all the way up until the day that we experience the perfection of it. All we need to do is rest, wait, trust. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. That's encouraging, isn't it? So encouraging. All right, let's stand together.